the series Always in Season. Over the past nine sermons that I've preached, we've examined the nine flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. And I would like us to keep that in perspective and remember Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, today I want us to add verses 24 and 25 for more context, where Paul said, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." These nine personality traits should be evident in the life of every Christian. Now, again, over the past nine sermons, I've spoken primarily of the what. What are those nine characteristics? Now, in this final message in this series, I want to talk about the how. How can we live a fruitful life that demonstrates those nine positive characteristics? So to truly understand the how of living a life like that, I want us to go to a companion passage in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. John 15, 1 through 5. I already touched on this in the children's sermon. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Let's pray. Father, I pray now as we have come to the end of this series, God, that you would let us hear your Spirit of the how to live a fruitful life, how to stay abiding in the vine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John 15 tells us how to live a fruitful life. You know, the U.S. military has a number of safeguards to prevent the accidental launching of a nuclear-tipped missile. And you've seen this demonstrated in some movies, and it is true. It is the way that missiles are launched. The commander has a key to unlock the trigger to launch the missile. The next in command also has a key. And both officers, commander and next in command, have to insert keys into a lock, and they both have to turn the keys at the same time, or the missile cannot be launched. I want you to think of John 15, 1 through 5, as one of those keys, and Galatians 5, 22 and 23 as the other key. And when you turn them both at the same time, when we put them together, we see how to launch life that is filled with spiritual fruit. Now, Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 15 on the night before he was to be crucified. He knew that his time left on earth was short. He was going to be crucified the next day. He was going to be resurrected 3 days later. And then 40 days later, he was going to ascend to heaven to be with his Father. The disciples were no longer going to have Jesus physically present with them. But in this wonderful passage in John's gospel, Jesus promised them something, or should we say, someone who was even better. It would be God's Holy Spirit. He would send the Spirit of God to live in the disciples, and the Holy Spirit, he would be the one who would bear witness of Christ through their lives. He would empower these disciples to demonstrate
the personality of Jesus through the fruit of the Spirit. And so out of this passage in John 15, I want us to quickly look at four truths about living the fruitful life. How to live the fruitful life. The first truth is pretty simple. Fruit is the evidence of my relationship with Jesus. When you buy fruit in the grocery store, most commonly you see it on bananas, right? There's always a sticker on there, right? I like to take that sticker and annoy my kids and stick it on my forehead, and it drives them crazy because they want to pull it off, and I just won't let them. But anyway, when it comes to that sticker on the fruit, you know what that sticker means? That means that somewhere between the tree and the grocery store, somebody inspected it to make sure it met quality standards. The Bible says that we're all to be fruit inspectors. In Matthew 7:16, Jesus said, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Did you know that God's plan for your life is not for you to be successful? God's plan for your life is not for you to be successful. You know what God's plan for your life is? It's for you to be fruitful. Jesus said in verse 8 of John 15, look at this verse, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." God is concerned about you bearing fruit. The best way that you can live a life that brings glory to God, Jesus said, is to bear the fruit. Now, Jesus is saying here that the fruit is evidence that you are his disciple. I like the old saying, the proof is in the pudding, right? But when it comes to Christianity, Jesus says the proof is in the fruit. Christian fruit is expressed in two different ways. In one sense, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. This is talking about spiritual reproduction. When you cut open an apple, what do you see? You see apple seeds in the core of it. Now, within that apple seed is the potential for another tree which will bear more apples. The first command that God gave Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. As a Christian, that is still God's plan for us. We should be involved in leading other people to faith in Jesus Christ. Why is this church here? This church is here because there were some Christians that went before us. That walked in the Spirit. And they bore the fruit. And we are that fruit. We're here. They planted the seeds. Tree of faith grew. And fruit was produced. What about you? Are you planting the seeds of the gospel wherever you go? Can you point to somebody else and say, "I planted the seed of the gospel into their life, and God caused that seed to grow, and he watered it with his Spirit, and that person is coming into the kingdom now." That's one type of fruit. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. But let's talk about a different kind of fruit. The second kind of fruit. Those nine virtues that we've been talking about over these past Sundays as we've studied Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Remember, fruit is that outward expression of the inward nature of Christ within us. I can identify a lot of trees just by looking at their bark and their leaves, but I can't do it with every tree. But man, when I walk up to an apple tree and I see apples all over it, I know it's an apple tree. That one's pretty easy
to figure out. If it's an orange is on it, I know it's an orange tree. We don't have a lot of those growing up here. When I walk up to a spaghetti tree and I see spaghetti hanging on it, I know it's a spaghetti tree, right? Right, Dad? No? Spaghetti doesn't grow on trees? Oh, that's right. It grows on bushes. You're right. All right. So, anyway, you know where the largest grapevine in the world's at? No, it's not my yard. The largest and oldest grapevine in the world is just outside of London. It's called the Grapevine at Hampton Court. It was planted in 1768. This grapevine is older than the United States. Some of its branches are over 200 feet long. It's protected by a custom-designed greenhouse that was built around it. This grapevine has only one trunk or main vine, and it is 12 feet in diameter. There are over hundreds of branches, and they maintain this vital relationship to the vine. Those branches that have that vital relationship to the vine, every year they produce over 800 pounds of grapes. It's a lot of grapes, folks, from one vine. But even on that world's largest and oldest grapevine, there are some other branches that grow, and they only produce leaves. There's no fruit on those branches. Oh, they look good. They're full of leaves. But those get cut off and burned because they compete with the branches that bear the fruit. They compete for the life-giving nutrients that are needed to bear fruit. A vine dresser will tell you that a branch that bears no fruit only has a superficial connection to the vine. And you know, to me, that is a parable of religious people. A parable of religious people versus true Christians. You know, religious people, they've got a lot of pretty leaves that adorn their lives. They attend church. They're very fluent in Christianese. You know what Christianese is, right? It's that language that people at church speak all the time. It's just it's like its own language. They talk about the Lord all the time, but they just don't really have an attachment to it. It's superficial at best. But when you see the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a believer, you know that person has a real connection, a real relationship to Jesus. So, as Matthew 7:16, where Jesus said to inspect fruit, the fruit I want you to inspect is the fruit in your life as I inspect the fruit in my life. So let's move to the second truth here. Not only is the fruit evidence of your relationship with Jesus, but look at this truth. Secondly, I can never produce fruit. I can only bear the fruit Jesus produces through me. There is a difference between producing fruit and bearing fruit. Now think about it. A branch just shows off the fruit that the vine has produced. Jesus is the vine. I am the branch. That's what he said here. If I get that backwards, I am headed for spiritual fatigue and frustration. Now, if you're a type A personality, this is real difficult. Because your temptation is to look at the nine fruit of the Spirit, and you are tempted to go, well, all right, these are my goals for today. Today, I must be absolutely loving. Today, I must be absolutely joyful. Today, I must be absolutely peaceful. And you work your way down the list. I got that one, and you start checking them off. Now, if that's you, understand you are setting yourself up for a lot of frustration, and you're going to fail and fall on your face in the mud. Branches do not produce fruit. They only bear the fruit. Listen again at the words of Jesus in verse 4 here in John 15. abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, for unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. The biggest mistake you can make when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit is to think that this is something you can produce yourself. Anybody ever seen a fruit factory? I haven't. Now, I've seen factories that process fruit, that can fruit, that ship fruit, but I've never seen one that makes fruit. I've seen factories that make cars. I've seen factories that make all kinds of stuff. But I've never seen one make fruit. Fruit comes naturally when there's a proper mix of light, sunlight, water, and soil nutrients. Well, you can't manufacture spiritual fruit either. It comes supernaturally when there is the proper mix of life in the Son, Jesus Christ, power from the Holy Spirit, and the willingness in your heart to submit to Jesus. There was a village leader from a remote area of Nepal. I don't know if there's any place in Nepal that isn't remote, right? But that Himalayan nation life there is like 300 years ago for most of the people. Well, there was a village leader, and he came to a modern city for the first time, and he saw electric lights for the first time in his life. And he was fascinated. In his room where he was staying at the hotel, he could flip a switch on the wall, and this glass ball on the ceiling would light up and light up the night. He had never seen anything like that. So with what little money he had before he went back to his village, he went to a hardware store and he bought a light bulb and a wall switch. And he went back to his village and he was so excited. He got some string, some twine, and he tied the light bulb to the ceiling of his meager dwelling, and he managed to affix the switch on the wall, and the neighbors were asking him, "What is this?" And he said, "Wait till dark, and you'll see." So when nightfall came, they all came to his house, and he went over and he said, "Now watch this." And he flipped the switch, and you know what happened? Nothing. He didn't understand about wires and the electricity that flowed through them to power the light. Well, trying to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit on your own, in your own life, is like trying to turn that light bulb on with no electricity. Praise God, though, that we have access to the supernatural power to create love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. Ron Dunn wrote this. He said, "A branch is just a grape rack that God has there to hang his fruit on. My responsibility isn't to produce fruit. My responsibility is just to be available for God to hang his fruit on me." Now let's move to the third truth we get here in John 15. We can go amen to those first two, but here's the third one. Branches that are pruned bear more fruit. Branches that are pruned bear more fruit. When you examine Jesus' words carefully here in John 15, you see that he mentions three levels of fruitfulness. Do you catch it? He first speaks of bearing fruit, and then he talks about bearing much fruit. That's the second level. And then there's a third level, and he calls it more fruit. And there's only one way for the vine to produce more fruits. And that's for the branches to get pruned. Look at verse 2 again here in John 15. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." That's pruning, folks. "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." Remember, Jesus is the vine. The Heavenly Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. We're the branches, so where's the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus doesn't exactly say it here, but you understand the parable, how it flows. The Holy Spirit is the sap that flows from the vine into the branches, bringing the life-giving nutrients from the soil to the branches and the leaves. Imagine that you get to the place in your Christian life where you're walking in the Spirit. You've surrendered the control of your life to Jesus. And people all around you see these wonderful fruit characteristics, these fruit of the Spirit, evident in your life. So what comes next? Does God pat you on the back and say, well done, and hand you a trophy? Do you get a medal? Nope, the most unexpected thing happens. Suddenly, God comes in with his clippers and he starts cutting things away. He starts pruning you. The difference between a beginning gardener and a master gardener is that a master gardener understands that fruit trees and grapevines have to be pruned back in order to produce more fruit. Now, that's counterintuitive. It really is. You would think that you'd do everything possible to prop up those branches, to get those branches as big as possible, and thinking that the bigger and stronger the branches are, the more fruit they'll be able to bear. It doesn't work that way. For you see, it's the new branches that bear the most fruit. We've got four apple trees in my yard. Oh, actually five. We just planted a new variety. But of the older ones, every winter I go out there and I prune them back. Do you know what you call an apple tree that's never been pruned? You call it a shade tree. Now, you can let your apple tree just go wild, and it'll continue to bear fruit for a number of years. But eventually, it will stop. And if it bears any at all, it'll just be an apple here or an apple there. Oh, it'll grow big, but eventually you're going to stop getting apples from that tree. But if you go out there and you keep pruning that tree every winter, and you prune it back and prune it back and prune it back where it never grows huge into this big shade tree, you'll get more apples off that small tree than that great big tree. And it'll always produce fruit. So think about that. I've got two kinds of grapevines growing in our yard. Every winter I go out there and I start pruning off the old branches. Now, if you look at those vines now, especially my Concords, you look at those now and you go, there's no way you prune those branches. There's runners and branches everywhere, leaves, and you start lifting leaves and there's so many grapes there. And you go, but if you'd have seen those just a few months ago, you'd have went, what? But yet every summer we get more grapes than we can eat. What's the difference? It's pruning. Now, pruning's painful. When the Lord gets out his clippers and starts cutting things away from our lives, we start going, oh God, please not that. Don't take that away, God. Don't cut there. Don't cut there. The Lord says, I'm cutting here because I want you to be even more fruitful than you already are. People are just like grapevines or apple trees. The ones with the most scars produce the most fruit. Now, this kind of preaching, again, will not fill a church up because it's not popular preaching, but this is gospel, John 15. And I'm looking at the faces of a lot of people this morning that got some scars, where God's done some pruning in their lives, and it was tough. And they didn't ask to be pruned. And God, why did you do that? But God's doing that because he wants you to bear more fruit. You know, one of the most fruitful servants in the history of Christianity was a little guy named Paul. Now, his real name was Saul, but after he got saved and started preaching to the Gentiles started calling him Paul.
Do you know what polis in the Greek, his name? You know what polis in the Greek means? It means shorty. It does. It means literally little one. And we translate it as shorty. And so, have you ever thought about that? When you read in the Bible of the Apostle Paul, that's Apostle Shorty? Well, God used Apostle Shorty, this little bitty, unimpressive looking guy, to start churches and write over half the books of the New Testament. And when you read the book of Acts, you see the pain and adversity that he faced in his life. God pruned him constantly. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 27. I've shared these verses before. I want to give them to you in the Message paraphrase. Look at some of the pruning he had to endure. 2 Corinthians 11, 24, 27. Again, this is from the Message. I've been flogged 5 times with the Jews' 39 lashes, beaten by Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I've been shipwrecked 3 times and immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. In hard traveling year in and year out, I've had to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I've been at risk in the city, at risk in the country, endangered by desert sun and sea storm, and betrayed by those who I thought were my brothers. I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, missed many a meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather. Now, most of us would love to be used like Apostle Shorty. But how many of us are willing to be pruned like he was? And the fourth truth that we get here, and this is the most vital thing you'll hear in this entire series, is my role is to stay connected to Jesus. That's it. It isn't hard. John 15:5 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If you stay connected to Jesus, you'll bear the fruit. You can't help but bear the fruit. That means apart from Jesus, I can't be loving. Apart from Jesus, I can't be joyful. And I can just go on down the list. Jesus said my relationship is to remain or just to abide in him. And he uses that word abide 10 times in this passage of Scripture. Now, if Jesus says something 10 times, don't you think you ought to pay attention to it? See, the best word to describe the fruit or the relationship here in bearing fruit is dependence. I stay connected to the vine and the life of the Spirit flows through me. Now, some people get that picture in reverse and they try to live like they're the vine and Jesus is the branch. Jesus, you're just an attachment to my life. You're part of my life and I bring you along when it's convenient. See, Jesus, I've got my goals, I've got my plans, I've got my priorities. And Jesus, you're part of my life, just like my family and my job and my hobbies. Folks, that ain't it. Jesus never wants to be an attachment to your life. Jesus wants to be your life. I've known a lot of Christians through the years who are struggling and striving and moaning and groaning trying to live the Christian life. You know what? It's like they've developed this spiritual hernia from doing all the spiritual lifting. You know, oh, I can't get around. I'm just stove up. You know, it's so hard being a Christian. Being a Christian is the easiest thing in the world. Oh, it'll have its challenges, yeah, but being a Christian is easy. These folks are going, oh, I'm going to love that person if it kills me. Oh, I'm going to be joyful today if it kills me. And guess what? It just about will kill you trying to do that. Relax, folks. I have spent a lot of time working on my grapevines, and never when I go out there do I see any of the branches going, oh, come on, bruise, grapes, come on, pop out of there. No, they're just hanging around, attached to the vine, and the fruit happens. You see, remaining in Christ isn't like sitting around in a lotus position, you know, with your legs crossed and your fingertips touching, going, oh, Jesus, come fill me. No. It's just actively seeking Christ, praying for Jesus, studying the Word of God. Don't you love Psalm 1? That when we just follow the Word of God, we're like the tree planted by the water. We never wither. That's the same thing. Once you decide to start abiding in Christ, you're going to be a busy person. But you're not going to be busy doing 100 different things. You're going to be busy doing one primary thing. That's abiding in Jesus. So how do you feel as we come to the end of this series on the fruit of the Spirit? Do you feel a little guilty because, well, Pastor, I just don't see a lot of evidence of the fruit in my life? Or do you feel overwhelmed by this list? Are you thinking, fruit? We've been talking about fruit these weeks. Let me tell you one more thing profound about fruit. Now, I'm telling you this is profound because if I didn't tell you it's profound, you wouldn't get it was profound. It'd just go right by you. All right? Are you ready? This is it. This is profound stuff. Fruit grows. Fruit grows. That's it. You don't just walk out to an apple tree, do you? And just, there's nothing there. All of a sudden, pow, pop. Apples everywhere, just instantly, right? Nope. Fruit grows. It takes time. If you don't have a fully mature 9-piece set of the fruit of the Spirit growing on your branch, don't panic. It means God's still working on you. God's still working on me. Does anybody here juggle? Anybody juggle? You juggle a little bit, Craig? Come here, Craig. You come here, Craig. All right. All right. Thank you.